Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This month, South Dakota Public Broadcasting explores preschool education in the state. We're talking with educators, lawmakers, parents, and community stakeholders about early learning in one of the few states that doesn't fund pre-K education and doesn't have an Early Learning Advisory Council. Today, we talk potential solutions. Now, in its second year, the HOPE Coalition is a collaborative effort to help families in need afford quality preschool education. Randall Beck is Executive Director of Sioux Falls HOPE Coalition. Rebecca Wimmer is Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Club in Sioux Falls. And Rich McCorris is Chair of the Sioux Falls HOPE Coalition Board. And they're all gathered around the microphones here in SDPB's Sioux Falls studio. Randall Beck, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Laura. It's great to be here.
Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you.
And Rich, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you.
I want to go back to the genesis of the HOPE Coalition. And Randall, I feel like a good place to start would be with you. When did this dialogue and, idea for solutions and collaborations really come up for you?
Yeah. About 4 to 4.5 years ago, Lori, Doug Morrison just stepped off the school board, and I convened a group of about 25 community leaders, including Mr. McCorris over here, to really spend close to a year looking into sort of what we viewed to be the growing number of challenges facing low-income, working poor families in Sioux Falls. We spent a year digging into the demographics of the research, and the conclusion we reached at the end of that time is that among the array of problems, the one that was most glaring and we felt we could step into was the absence of preschool, the lack of opportunity, if you will, for hundreds of children to actually go to preschool as 3 and/or 4-year-olds so that they arrive at kindergarten ready to learn.
And where were you gathering your data from as you did the research with people who have a lot of experience in education?
Yeah, we had a lot of stakeholders with us in the room, including the United Way, which has been in that space for a long time. The Sioux Falls School District, I think, was a key partner for us. Dr. Maher was a part of our group, and I think he, Brian would say it today, really looked to the community to help the school district get those kids to kindergarten ready to learn. That was really his mantra that we heard then. They had tons of research that really showed about 350 kids a year, kind of those gap kids who are just above the line for Head Start, you know, which is federal poverty level. But frankly, preschool is too expensive for their parents to afford. So about 350 kids in there, we felt like were a prime candidate. If we could get them in preschool so that they would arrive at kindergarten ready to learn, that'd be a game changer for the kids, for their families, and for the whole community.
Rich, take me back to some of those early conversations for you. Give us a little bit of your background and what you were, was it eye-opening for you?
I think as a community member, as a pastor and nonprofit leader, what was eye-opening was the level of need, the amount of families that were not receiving something that, for example, my family takes pretty much for granted and we use regularly. And then also just though as community members to see the amount of resources that exist within the city. And what was really missing was a mechanism to connect the resources to the need. And so I think we saw the opportunity to say, hey, we've got the resources to meet this need. Now we need to connect the families that need it with this existing resources, kind of how I see the HOPE Coalition being born.
All right, so let's talk about the HOPE Coalition today and give us an overview of what exactly this group does.
Yeah, we're an organization, a nonprofit, 501c3, whose existence is based on mobilizing those resources that Rich talked about to be able to provide preschool for kids and those families in need. And so we really, we don't do school. They don't want me in there teaching school, Lori. but we do, what we do have is through partnerships in the community, both faith and other preschools, high quality preschools, we're able to bring them to the table to provide those kinds of services for those families in need with the financial support of the business community and the nonprofit community. So literally, we are a United Way supported agency. This year, we became a partner in our third full year, a partner agency. And so the community is providing the financial support for our preschool partners now, like Boys and Girls Club, which is new this year, and MB, our two newest partners, to provide preschool for the families that we're targeting.
All right, Rebecca, that's your cue. And let's talk about Boys and tell us an overview of what Boys and Girls Club in Sioux Falls really does and part of a much larger network as well.
Absolutely. So as a nonprofit, we care for kids birth all the way through age 18 in a number of different programs. One of that is early childhood education for birth to age 5. We have after-school programs for those kiddos that are 6 all the way up to age 18. We are also supported by United Way to make sure that every child has an equal opportunity. Many of our families pay for services, you know, like they would any other early education or after-school program, but we know that there's those families out there that cannot afford, you know, either that early childhood or preschool education or the after-school care for their kids. And that's where United Way, business partners, individuals, other agencies like the Hope Coalition step in, and they provide those opportunities for children.
Tell me how you became connected with Hope Coalition and what exactly is the partnership? How does it work?
Mm-hmm. Connecting with Hope Coalition, it came through conversations with Rich McCorris, just finding out more about Hope Coalition. I have a couple of board members that were part of Central Church that started Hope Coalition Classroom, and so that really got me interested in what that was. Very much went to the heart of what our mission is for Boys and Girls Club, is making sure every child has equal access to, you know, a great educational opportunity. And so just in conversations, it seemed like it was something that would fit with the mission of Boys and Girls Clubs, and also would, you know, help support Hope Coalition in achieving their goals.
All right, started a Hope Coalition classroom. What does that mean?
We've asked each of our partner programs. We have 7 partner programs right now.
Eight
partner programs right now. And what happens is the Hope Coalition has children and families that come to us. After they come to us, we assign them to one of our partner programs according to their where they live, according to transportation availability and the desires of the family. And then that partner program places them in one of their classrooms, and we provide a scholarship for them to attend that program. One of the unique elements of the Hope Coalition is it's a real partnership, because the program is charging us about 2/3 of what the normal ongoing rate is. So everybody's got skin in the game, the nonprofit or the church. And the Hope Coalition then is providing a scholarship, voucher, however you want to look at that, to pay for that spot for the child to attend that program.
And Randall, you mentioned business partners. Tell me more about that.
It's been a big part of our success and our momentum today is that early on we had some key business leaders. I'd sort of single out Dana Dykhouse, who's been a longtime advocate for preschool in this state, who really came alongside us and told other business leaders, gosh, this is an important part of what a community does, to rally around its kids, the kids in need, to not just do the right thing, to get them to school to learn, but also to build future employees for First Premier and many other businesses. So he really was an early advocate for us, a financial supporter, and helping spread the word among other businesses. We just believe that in this community, like most communities, getting the business community on our side and to really say, yes, this is an important something for our whole city to do. That is a key part of how we build momentum and bring credibility to other stakeholders in the community.
And Rebecca, let's talk about the kids themselves, because you have seen throughout all the ages of Boys and Girls Club the difference between having services and not having services. Tell me some of the things and the ways that you sort of have seen that unfold.
Absolutely. I think even as an educator in the early childhood space, you don't really know what that looks like until it walks through your door. And so starting this Hope Coalition partnership, we had our first group of kids start about 3 weeks ago. We have 25 kids that are in our program. And to see kids who have never experienced an early childhood classroom before, just the awe and wonder in their face when they see that there's a block area they can build in, or there's, you know, dramatic play, there's sensory items that they get to explore. It took a good week and a half just, you know, to let them explore and figure out what that routine looks like. I was telling Randall before we came in here, we have quite a few 3-year-olds that are enrolled, and one of the little boys came in and we put crayons on the table and we're working with them on coloring. And it was very obvious he had never been exposed to how to hold a crayon before. And so he grabbed it much like you would a handlebar and was trying to move it sideways across the paper. And so a staff sat with him and showed him how to grip a crayon and showed him what you can do. And seeing his face light up as he discovered that you can actually make marks on a paper with a crayon and you can control what you're doing. Those are things that even as an educator, you don't really think about that being missing from someone's experience until you see it in front of you. And then I think about, had he not been a part of Hope Coalition, what would that look like for him starting kindergarten 2 years down the road? If he doesn't even know how to grip a crayon, how is he going to keep up with his classroom? And so Hope Coalition stepping in and providing that scholarship is giving him an opportunity that I can't even imagine how that's going to impact him for the future.
Yeah.
Laura, we know that in most kindergarten classes, there are two groups of kids. The ones who have been to preschool and have had that training, that socialization, as well as the academic skills, and those who have not. And that gap between the kids is so obvious on the first day of kindergarten, and the gap only gets bigger as those two groups go through school. If Doug were here, he'd be able to sort of speak really eloquently about how all of the reading scores beginning at third grade show just that gap widening. And we know that the ones who have not been to preschool graduate from high school at a much lower rate. And it continues. It continues in the choices they make about jobs and the stability of their lives, whether they're in or out of trouble, just all of those things, it pays off for decades.
And one of the arguments as you bring that up has been the kids will catch up. And people have said, you know, they might come in, and you're seeing the opposite. You're seeing a widening of a gap, of an achievement gap.
Yeah. I mean, certainly, you know, we're beginning our third year, so we don't have a lot of data here. But the national studies that have been around the longest, I think there's a Michigan study that's been around for more than 40 years. And what every year when they update those two groups, it shows that the choices that they're making as an adult in their 40s and 50s trace back to the decision to have that child take or not to take preschool. So those are long trajectory decisions, and a lot of the longest studies really show that. The Fed tells us that every dollar invested in early education anywhere, including South Dakota, pays off $9 to $10 in benefits, not just for that child, but more importantly, for that community.
Rich, I want to go back to what Rebecca said just about this crayon moment. And if that child, for example, and maybe there's going to be a ton of intervention in kindergarten to sort of help them catch up, but I can't even imagine as a parent sort of seeing them come home for the first. I mean, there's a huge social moment for a 5 or 6 year old to look around and realize a lot can happen in that first 2 weeks with that kind of a delay and that kind of a gap. Speak to that a little bit, if you would.
Absolutely. I think that just illustrates the social responsibility that we have as a community. Some people point out, hey, that's the parent's responsibility to teach the child how to hold the crayon. The reality is this. It's our community responsibility to teach the child how to hold the crayon. The child didn't put themselves in that situation. We don't know the family situation. The parents may be working 2 or 3 jobs, don't have time to teach them how to hold a crayon. And so there's a social responsibility we have as a community. There's also an economic responsibility we have as a community. Imagine for a moment that child coming to kindergarten, not knowing how to hold that crayon. That's extra cost on the Sioux Falls School District because we have to have extra aides in the room. We have to have lower teacher-to-child ratios in the room. It's going to cost us over the long run, both in the education sector, but also in the longer run economically in the community as a whole of where the person can get a job and so forth. And so we've got a responsibility socially, morally, I would argue, as a pastor, and also economically to help children have this opportunity.
And Rebecca, one of the other criticisms we've been hearing as we do this, you know, month-long look on SDPB about preschool is a concern that preschool is, and I'll use the word in quotations, indoctrination. And when you talk about a preschool classroom, you're talking about blocks and crayons and dramatic play. Take us inside a preschool classroom, an early learning experience, and tell us what it is and what it is not.
Absolutely. So early learning in its best form is letting children explore and learn through their own play. So that doesn't need to be a specific classroom. It doesn't need to be sitting down and having the kids trace letters and do worksheets. What children need is the opportunity to explore, and whether that happens, you know, in a great in-home or whether that happens at home with a parent, what we're trying to develop is children who have a love for learning, who are naturally curious, who want to figure out the world, take things apart, put them back together, build towers, pretend that they're a fireman. Those are the things that are important for a child's development, not whether they can necessarily, you know, recognize every single letter or number. Those things are going to come. But what you need to teach children is how to love to learn, to be curious, and to explore. And so that's what we focus on in our classrooms, is teaching them how to explore when they're sitting down and they're playing with blocks, asking them, how tall do you think we can make this tower? How far do you think you can jump? How many inches, you know, tall do you think you are? Those are all questions that get them questioning, figuring things out, how the world works. That's what makes a lifelong learner.
We are going to take a break, and we're going to come back more with this panel talking about preschool and the Hope Coalition and efforts of community members and business leaders to step in and make sure the children in need have the connections to the services they deserve. Stay with us on listener-supported SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking about preschool and potential solutions to kids who are in need of preschool, but parents who can't afford it. We're talking with representatives from the Hope Coalition in Sioux Falls, Randall Beck, Executive Director, Rich McCorris, Chair of the Sioux Falls Hope Coalition Board, and then Rebecca Wimmer. She's Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Club in Sioux Falls and a partner in the Hope Coalition. And Randall, I want to start this segment with you because I'm wondering how difficult it was to get buy-in, and Rich will sort of bring you into the conversation too, when you're bringing this message to business partners and to community members, are you faced with a lot of skepticism or enthusiasm?
You know, I'm going to say a little bit of both. I mean, I would say, especially the first year or two, there was some, maybe not a lot of skepticism, but you know what? What we resolved is that if we could just get kids in school, then we can show the community, hey, this works, look what we're doing here. And I think that's what we're seeing happen because of that, I think, because of our ability to sort of show the community, show prospective donors, our supporters, this is real life. We're getting this kid in preschool here, and her life is going to change. 40 our first year, 89 our second year, and then this year we've got 151, 152 kids right now in preschool. So we've scaled up pretty quickly. We think that's our best story, is to show supporters, show the community, folks in this town that, look, we can come together. We're not so big that we can't fix this problem. We can actually fix it. 300 kids, that's within reach. I can see that off in the horizon. So I think that the evidence of our good work builds more support from the community. So we're really seeing that. So seeing an enthusiasm, I think, across the city.
What's that 300 number based on?
School district is really our best source for that. There, you know, this is not science when it comes to determining what that number is. And the hardest part of what we've done, I think, is figuring out how to reach our parents, how to find them. We were able to do that pretty quickly this year, beginning April 1. But what we're figuring out is we don't take ads out in the newspaper to do that. That we're going to where these working families are. We're going to places around the community where they are, and literally giving them a flyer, and they're reacting enthusiastically.
Rich, one of the challenges I found in just doing some of these conversations, and I'm wondering if it's true for you, is that when you talk to people about preschool, if they didn't go, or if their kids are growing up now and their kids didn't go because it just wasn't a thing, that there's an obstacle there to overcome. Because when I've told the story a few times, but when I went to kindergarten, I have my report card still because my dad made a scrapbook. And it's, you know, can she cut with scissors straight? Mm-hmm. And so much has changed. We know so much more. But yet some parents are saying, you know, I turned out okay and I didn't have this. How do you sort of respond to the changing nature of education and people who are getting their minds around what we now know about early learning and what we didn't know before?
I think two things. One is Sioux Falls has been blessed to have some great education on this front by United Way. So we've got a really invested business community that understands the challenges that families are facing in the new area where there's the middle class is kind of shrinking. And so they understand there's a new group coming that is really struggling to meet their family needs. Also, along with that, though, I think one way to help families or business leaders understand this is testimonies. Testimonies like Rebecca shared this morning about the child that was learning to hold their Quran. We've had the principal come in from one of our partner programs, share testimonies of how this has impacted families. Those testimonies put the business leaders over the top and are like, okay, this makes sense. This is needed. And then the second, I think a big element that the business community has gotten behind is the C word, and that's collaboration. Business leaders, I think, are hungry to see a new level of collaboration between government, public, private business, and this is a perfect example of that, the nonprofit community, the church community, school district, all coming together. And so just collaboration alone has really really brought a lot of enthusiasm from business leaders.
And Randall, we're talking about a program that is the Sioux Falls area, just Sioux Falls?
Sioux Falls School District area. Yeah, we continue to redefine exactly what that means.
All right, but we have a statewide audience here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, yeah. And we're getting calls from parents who are driving great distances to find a program, who have no program in their community, and you might be talking about a smaller group of preschoolers.
For sure.
But what is this something that people can take a lesson from? In the rural areas of the state, in other cities, you know, Watertown, Mitchell, Aberdeen, and in places far-flung in between. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a great question. Frankly, we see no reason why this couldn't be replicated in every community across the state. I mean, it's scalable for sure. There's nothing secret or unique in what we've done here. I think often to almost any sort of challenge in a community, it takes one or two people to just say, wait a minute, let's do this, and sort of bring everybody else around the table. And that's really, really the only thing that really happened here is a couple of folks said, hey, let's talk about this. Hey, let's get people in the room and figure out a way to do it and collaborate, like Rich said. So I think that can happen in Aberdeen and Mitchell and every other community here.
When you look at these children that you have, the 150 or so who are already being served, and the more, what are your hopes for them? You mentioned testimonial, Rich, so maybe we'll start with you a little bit. What do you think, you know, now that you've captured, because, and the reason I'm asking this question is when you have a preschooler, time goes quickly. And pretty soon, if the state of South Dakota doesn't solve this problem, if you don't have access to this in your community, if you don't have the funds as a parent, that time can pass rather fast. So what are your hopes, Rich, for capturing some of these? Capturing is the wrong word, right? Because it makes it sound like you have a net and you captured them. But for inviting these kids into this program, how do you hope their lives might change?
This may be a little high level for that, but the way I personally look at this is I want every kid in Sioux Falls to have the exact same opportunity that my son has. I know that my son is going to go to kindergarten ready to learn. I know that my son is going to be put in a position where he's going to be able to learn throughout his young years and be prepared to enter into the job world, et cetera. I want every kid to be able to have that opportunity, no matter their economic status, no matter how long they've been in America. Every kid that's in the Sioux Falls area, I want to have that opportunity, as my kids do.
Randall, your thoughts on that same question?
You know, when I go into one of our preschool partners and I see a room full of kids, I see our future mayor, I see our future business leaders, our journalists, I see the future leaders and decision makers of our city, of our state right there. And so this is just a small investment in those lives so they have the opportunity. You're going to make me cry here. So they have the opportunity to realize their God-given abilities. And I believe that. And our teachers see that. These kids, you see the light bulb go on. And you see, yes, this is a small investment in building the future of this place that we love and that we call home.
Rebecca, let's talk a little bit about privilege based on what Rich just said. In the sense that for so many parents who are part of the conversation, and really even legislators and peer, might not realize just how difficult it is to send your child to preschool and pay the you know, people's salaries. Talk a little bit about just how hard it can be to take care of your child's preschool education on your own.
Absolutely. So just to give listeners an idea, you know, if they don't have children, or maybe, you know, like my children, you know, they're grown and out of that daycare scene, typical daycare for one child, you know, starting at infant age, you know, is typically around $175 to $180 a week. Now imagine that you have multiple children that you're trying to take care of, and you're working a job that maybe pays $12 to $14 an hour, if you're lucky. There's many jobs that, you know, are minimum wage. And now imagine how you're going to make those ends meet. Many of our families are working multiple jobs. They are hardworking families that want their best, the best for their children, just like I wanted for my children. And they're trying to achieve that, but there is that gap there. And just giving them the opportunity, again, testimonial, you know, talking with a dad that thought that preschool for his child was out of reach, and sitting down with him and talking about, you know, with the support that he was getting from Hope Coalition, with the money that he could come up with a scholarship program that we at Boys and Girls Club offer, all of a sudden that became attainable for his little girl to be in a preschool program, and to see the pride in his eyes when he knew that he could give his little girl the same opportunity every other little girl, you know, was getting, was incredible. Those are moments that, I mean, you can't replace.
Randall, is it the responsibility of a community to solve this problem in the complex way that the Hope Coalition is attempting to do? Is it government's responsibility?
It is not government's responsibility. I believe it is our responsibility. Dr. Robert Putnam of Harvard a few years ago published a book called Our Kids. It was a really compelling and timely look at how kids across our country, part because of income gaps, of other social forces, are finding themselves, as Rebecca has sort of eloquently said, sort of without the opportunity that my kids and my grandkids have had. And I believe when that exists, it is a place like Sioux Falls' responsibility to step in and fix it. I think there's a temptation sometimes in our world today to sort of look to government to fix everything. The fact is we have no current state support for preschool. There's no upside, in my view, of wringing our hands about that. There are folks who are working on that from a peer standpoint, and I'm glad that they're doing that. But here in Sioux Falls, we have an opportunity for those of us to sort of, who have, are available, who have the means and the resources to step in and work together so that every child in this town gets that chance. We are really structuring our entire effort, Lori, around one very simple idea, and that's what we call the Sioux Falls Promise. We believe, as you suggest, that it is our responsibility as a town, as a city, to give every child here a shot at preschool. We believe it is. We think that's a mark of a quality city, and we tell ourselves Sioux Falls is the best among cities, right? We always talk that game. We believe this is one of those metrics that really reflects whether we collectively will make sure those kids get a good future.
For those kids who are, first of all, my question I wanted to make sure we get in is, once you're in, are you in? From the Hope Coalition standpoint, do you reapply every year for a scholarship? Or
you have to reapply each year. And so we've had, Rebecca and I were just talking about it, our first year, a number of three-year-olds starting out in some of our schools. Abiding Savior is one of our good partners. And most of those kids the second year as four-year-olds re-enrolled because their families had such a great experience. They wanted to be all in for the second time around. And I think we'll see that across all of our partners.
Right. And then your income level might change from year to year. And so you,
yeah,
might,
for sure.
You might not
absolutely
qualify.
You have to reapply. Absolutely.
Right.
You bet.
Right. Who are all your partners? Who has sort of said yes to be part of Hope Coalition?
Yeah. I mentioned Big Brothers, Boys and Girls Club, as well as MB. There are two newest partners, but we also have Compassion Childcare, Abiding Savior, Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls First, the Assembly of God Church on the West Side, Peace Lutheran,
Central Church,
which is Central Baptist as the largest private preschool in the city. They have a separate, they are renting a facility at 12th and Grange to be able to be in a position to be a huge partner for the Hope Coalition, and they have a bunch of kids there. So, yeah.
Rebecca, what are parents looking for in a quality early learning experience? What does that classroom look like? Who are the teachers who are leading kids that make a real difference? Because we don't also have those standards established in South Dakota.
Right. I think one of the most important things is understanding children, understanding how they learn, how their brains develop, and understanding what it's important to provide for children, what that environment needs to look like. Our staff are trained in, early childhood education and understanding, having a love for children, a love for seeing them learn and develop, and seeing the excitement are the things that we look for when we're looking for employees, whether they have a four-year degree or whether they're, fresh out of college or, they're coming to us at a high school level. That love for children, love for seeing that development piece is important. And then understanding how they as educators can step into a child's world and help improve their experience. Like I talked about before, sitting with them in the black area and asking those questions and helping their brain stretch even further than it would on its own.
Hmm. And Rich, you mentioned your kids and their experience in making sure that other, so your kids are younger. Randall, you get into this game without a preschool kid at home.
Right, exactly.
So I guess what I'm trying to get at here is when we talk about who steps up, it can be very hard when you have kids at this age to be the person who steps up for the solution. Mm-hmm. It takes people who have maybe already run a few laps around the parenting track.
A few laps. What are you trying to suggest?
So speak to that as far as, and when we talk about collaboration and coalitions, mm-hmm. it's also from people with different backgrounds and yeah. different experiences as
sure,
well.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Well, I've always sort of had a thing about kids, both my own, my grandkids, and been a long-time mentor in this community, and that's probably my love for mentoring and the belief that 30 minutes to an hour a week with a kid can literally change a kid's life. And I had 20 years of that, and I think Doug and I and that shared experience really brought us to the point where we saw how preschool was a natural, logical extension of that. So we've been in the schools and in the Title I schools in this community in particular, where I think where you see the new Sioux Falls. You see the changes throughout that many folks who haven't had kids in elementary school in a very long time, people of my life stage, they've not been in those schools. They don't see the challenges that these kids are sometimes sort of facing. So they don't see the opportunity. So I was lucky enough to be there. Doug and I think we saw that firsthand, and we realized, again, it's kind of like, well, somebody else could step in and do this, but maybe we're available. I think it really came down to us. We're available. Maybe we should just do this.
Yeah, why not us?
But not alone. I mean, I just want to say that we couldn't have done it ourselves, but bringing people together, that community aspect that you mentioned and both Rebecca and Rich have referred to, that was key. It was really literally a community coming together and saying, we're going to rally around this line in the sand and say, it's time to do this.
For people who want to connect with the Hope Coalition as donors or as partners or as preschool parents, yep. Where do they go?
You bet. Best place to go is sfhopecoalition.org.
All right. We'll put a link up on our website after the program as well. Randall Back, Rich McCorris, and Rebecca Wimmer. Thanks for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.